So the scripture that God has laid on my heart, and it's about the kingdom, or the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and it's found in Matthew 16, verse 15 to 19. And I'll read it to you. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed on heaven, in heaven." Now here's the thing, right? When I was studying this, sometimes I don't enjoy studying, and I don't enjoy coming up with things, reading and all that goes on. I got very excited about this. As I read through it, I just got sucked in and drawn in even more and more. And this is what it's about, okay? But we need to understand something, okay? And sometimes we try and understand things, and there's ways that we can understand things. There's only one real way we can understand Scripture, and that's through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't got that, you have to have that released on you so that you can understand Scripture. And when you understand Scripture, you will understand what your Father is saying and what your purpose is. Because bear in mind, we come to church on a Sunday. And not only do we come to church, but we come together. Did you ever think why you do that? Do we do that because it's just what we do on a Sunday? Imagine if somebody said this about Liberty. "Welcome to Liberty, a community of churchgoers." Would you be insulted? I'd be insulted, because we're not just churchgoers. We just don't go to church and fill a role, and sure, it's somewhere else for us to go, because we can't go to the Catholic Church because we're not Catholics anymore, so we still need something to do on a Sunday before dinner. So we are not a community of churchgoers. Now, sometimes grammar can help you understand Scripture. Remember, Holy Spirit first and somewhere along the way. And I was never very strong on grammar. It never interested me, because even the words that they used to form grammatical whatever didn't interest me. They bored me. But let's use a little bit of grammar. Here's a question. Let's have a show of hands. Is it the keys to the kingdom of heaven, or is it the keys of the kingdom of heaven? Keys to the kingdom of heaven. Show of hands. Keys of the kingdom of heaven. Show of hands. Gosh, you're worse at grammar than I am. It's of. Okay? The scripture that we're going to look at isn't about the location of the keys. It's where the keys belong to. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Anyone ever go to bingo? What was 21? Key of the door. And what was the key of the door? What was the significance? There was a legal significance to being 21. It's called... Top of the house. There's a significance to the key of the door. There's a significance to turning 21. And it was a reference that was known as the age of majority. And it is the transition from childhood to adulthood as recognized or declared by the law. It meant something. Now, what else did turning 21 mean and getting the key to the door? It meant it was the age that you had the key to your parents' house. Right? And you could decide your own timekeeping. And it also meant that you could exercise your own authority over when you could come and when you could go. There's a significance to having the key to the door. And in the Bible, keys are a symbol of authority. Let's look at this scripture, and it's a bit ironic. It's Isaiah 22:22, or two little ducks, two little ducks. (Laughter) I will place on his shoulders the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. And what we see here is Eliakim the priest receives the keys to David's house. And it's the physical keys. And when you were given the physical keys as a servant to the king, you wore them on a hook on your shoulder. Now that sounds painful. I hope it was on his garment and not actually in his shoulder. See, he had the authority to open and close the doors to the king's house. Again, we see keys mentioned in Revelation 3, verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. This tells us that Jesus had the key of David. In ancient Egypt, the king was the steward of God, the true king of the land. But Jesus is the steward of his Father's kingdom. Jesus has the authority to allow or disallow entry into the kingdom. No man has this authority, only Jesus. Now, in verse 18 of Matthew, it can sometimes be misunderstood. And again, this is where grammar can help us. But bear in mind, our real knowledge is imparted by the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, and I tell you, Peter, that you, Peter, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And many think, and it's also a strong position that's held by the Catholic Church, that Jesus is saying that Peter is the rock that the church is built on. Now, let's not dismiss Peter, okay? Peter held a privileged position. He was the leading apostle in the New Testament church. And we know for a fact that through his obedience and through his servanthood to Jesus, Peter did incredible things. And he had keys and he used them in a powerful way. In Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, he opened the kingdom of heaven to Jewish believers. And then in Acts 10, and this is significant for us, unless you're of Jewish heritage, oy vey. In Acts 10, at the house of Cornelius, he opened the kingdom of heaven to Gentile believers. And this was the first time that the kingdom of God had been opened to these different religions, to these different sects. Peter did that with the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, Peter isn't the foundation. He isn't the rock that Jesus is referring to. Now, they used an Aramaic word called Kepha, not Keef as an English name, but Kepha, K-I-P-H-A. And in Aramaic, here's where the confusion comes in, that word means rock, and that word means Peter. So it's easy to make the assumption that when Jesus said rock and said Peter, he was saying the same thing. He wasn't saying the same thing. If we go back to the Greek translation, it gets clear to us. Greek nouns have gender, so they can be male and female. And when Jesus spoke, he said, you are Petros, Peter, which was a male noun. And he said, and on this rock, Petra, which is feminine. So there's a difference between Peter, Petra, Petros, we'll get it right. Petros being the masculine and Petra being the feminine. So Peter is not the rock. But we do know what the rock that the church should be built on is. And Peter declared it in verse 16. He said, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter had had a revelation. God had revealed to him who Jesus was. And Peter had spent his days walking with Jesus. What an incredible position to be in. And yet up to this point, he had never known that this man that he was sitting under, this man that he was being taught by, this man who loved him, was the Messiah. And from that moment on, when God revealed who he was, his life changed even further. See, God called out Peter. And we've talked about it a couple of times over the last few weeks about the ecclesia, about the called out ones. And ecclesia is made up of two words. There's a prefix, ek, at the start, and that means out of or from. And the other part is kallio, meaning called. So he was called out, but he was called out by God. And another word for church is ecclesia. Now, again, would you be insulted if we were a community of churchgoers? Or would you prefer to be known as the ecclesia, called out by God to serve? You see, why do we have to take authority? What is it that Jesus is doing in our lives? What is it he's preparing us for? Well, he's preparing us for the harvest. We know that. And we have to take our responsibility. But also we have to accept Jesus. We have to accept him as our Savior. Because if we don't do that, if we don't allow God to call us to Jesus, we can't be part of the ecclesia. We won't be part of the ecclesia. This is the rock. The invisible church, not a brand of church, not any one particular community, the invisible church, the ecclesia, the people who have been called out by God. It's made up of us who are called, but not just called outwardly, but called inwardly. When Jesus calls you to discipleship, he's calling you to follow him. He's calling you to learn from him. He's calling you to learn of him. And he's doing that for a purpose. Then in verse 19 it says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. By giving us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is releasing his authority on us. Amen? But with authority comes great responsibility. We should truly understand what Jesus meant, or we'll find ourselves misusing his authority and abusing his authority. See, our sin nature has shown us that man desires power, control, and rulership. Sometimes overzealous Christians have mistaken verse 18 to mean that Jesus gave us authority to call down health, to call down wealth. That Jesus was giving us authority to release material possession just by speaking it. Now the thing is, we don't dismiss that. The Bible does contain many principles that promote good health and they promote material wealth. And I'd encourage you to read the book of Proverbs. It is overwhelmed with that sort of stuff. So it's not something we dismiss. It's something that we hold on to. But we have to understand what Proverbs is saying. It might be the Old Testament, but it's still very relevant to us today. Here's a question. Do we need keys to get into heaven? No, we don't. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What an amazing declaration. That none of us will be lost. That our Father is calling us to Jesus' heart. That he's calling us. Everyone gets the opportunity. It's not you just happen to be lucky or you just happen to go to the right church on a particular day. No, God is calling you to Jesus. He sacrificed his own Son so that you would not be lost. So that you would be called to him. What an amazing calling we have in our life when we answer. But we have to acknowledge it. Peter was free not to acknowledge God. Peter was free not to declare. And yet look how his life was changed for God's purpose. We only get access to heaven through one special key, and that's Jesus. Now, it's clear that the keys were given to Peter and to all the disciples. But if we go back to looking at the abuse of authority that comes from this, many churches and many church leaders have misinterpreted verse 19 to hold authority and power over people. We see it in our own country. We've seen it over the years. We've seen it. There's examples in churches where they've controlled people. They've used scripture to keep people in boxes. And we've seen it in our own country where, you know, with the Catholic Church. And here's what Jesus said in Luke 11:52. Woe to you experts in the law, because you've taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who are entering. See, the Pharisees and the priests believed that they had the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that they had the knowledge, and yet they never accepted the gospel of Jesus. They never accepted the gospel message. Not only that, did they not accept it. They didn't want anyone else to have this. They wanted to control people. They wanted to keep people away from God. They wanted them, stop them hearing the message of salvation, the message of eternal life, the message of freedom from death. And the ghastly thing is, these were the people who knew what was in the Old Testament about Jesus coming. They were the experts in law, and they missed it. The concept of binding and loosing was commonly used amongst the Jewish people in relation to the authority of the rabbis. And it meant to permit, to allow, to disallow, to ban. There was an authority that came to it in loosing and binding. And there's a very common and dangerous misconception about this that can lead to the abuse of authority. And in verse 19, it says, the church leaders are put in charge. And this is the abuse. This is not what verse 19 says, just to be clear. It's used in this way. And it says, God has put me in charge as a leader, and he will back me up. So whatever I loose on earth, God is going to follow me. Whatever I bind on earth, God is going to follow me. And that's how that scripture is misused, to control, to manipulate, and also to take away the true freedom that Christ has for us. As a Catholic country, it was important to keep this line, because we were told that only the priest had the authority to read scripture. And see, the scripture that would have set us free is that scripture, and yet we were told not to read it. We were told we didn't have the authority to read it. And this is not what this scripture means. And binding things, because I said it and God has my back as a leader, became a license to do anything. So how is it misinterpreted? How could they get it so wrong? Well, if I go back and I read it, it says whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Now, to me, that does say that I have the authority. Whatever I do will be done here. Whatever is done, whatever I loose, will be done here. It seems very straightforward. It seems very clear. And it seems like a correct interpretation. That's what the NIV says. But there's a responsibility on us to read God's word correctly and to understand God's word correctly. So how is it misinterpreted? Let's look at a different translation, okay? And this translation, it's quite an old one. It's Young's Literal Translation. And Young's Literal Translation attempts to be faithful to the Greek translation, even if it means the sentence gets butchered and can be very hard to read. Or maybe not. I'll put it up on the laser display so we can follow along. It is, Didi thou dost mayeth. Verse 19 says, and I will give to thee the keys of the reign of the heavens, and whatever thou mayest bind upon the earth shall be having been bound in the heavens, and whatever thou mayest loose upon the earth shall be having been loosed in the heavens. That's a completely different version. It's a completely different scripture, and it's the opposite meaning of how verse 19 has been interpreted. So what's Jesus really saying? Whatever you bind on the earth is already bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on the earth is already loosed in heaven. That's the complete opposite. So now, as a vicious leader who wants to control people, I no longer have a means to do that by using verse 19, because we understand what our Father is saying to us, and we understand the authority that He's given to us. So what does all this binding and loosing mean? The power of binding and loosing was claimed by the Pharisees. They became the administrator of public affairs. And they had the power to banish, to bring back, the power to loose and bind. And you know what? They could pick any day and bind that day as a fast day. And the whole phrase relates to the administration of a government. Now here's the thing. Jesus spent a great deal of time teaching the disciples how to administer the new covenant ecclesia. That's a hard concept. But he was teaching them how to govern his new covenant church. And his teaching is an important lesson to church government. So what's the real meaning of all of this? Well, we need to look at Luke 22. Verse 25 and 26. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call them benefactors, call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you shall be the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves." Jesus was being sarcastic towards the civil government at the time, because they were a harsh government and they ruled whatever way they chose. But you know what? This is what it really all means. When we look at Matthew 16, all those verses, this is what Jesus was really saying. "I'm going to give you the keys to my kingdom. However, unlike those who rule today, you're not to lord it over my people. Whatever you bind and loose must already be the things bound and loosed in heaven. And it'll be according to my Father's will." So we still have authority. He still gave us the keys. But we don't have the authority to treat people the way we in our sin nature would, to lord it over people, to have authority, to abuse people. That's not what Jesus wanted us to do. See, the apostles were not going to declare things allowed or not allowed according to the Jewish law of the day. But they were going to do it according to God's law. Completely different. So God's law came into being. God's law became the rule. God's law became the authority that they used to loose and bind. And there's a perfect example of this in Acts 15. Some of the ecclesia thought that they were just a different sect of the Jewish religion. That's what they believed. And then when we started to see the Gentiles coming along, well, it was like, they're not fully up to speed on what we do. Particularly around circumcision. Very uncomfortable. And that's not a club I want to join, and wouldn't have been encouraged to follow Jesus if that's what that meant. And see, it was a stumbling block. And it stopped people coming to Jesus. And the Jews were comfortable because that wasn't an issue for them. And it kept the Gentiles away. And yet we know that Jesus' heart is after Everyone. Regardless of what religion you come from, regardless of what background you come from, regardless of what sin has been in your life, he wants everyone. And we have a responsibility with that authority not to put a stumbling block in the way for anyone to come to God. Because bear in mind, we will just facilitate. God has already called you. God has already placed a call on you. He wants to bring you to Jesus. He wants to show you his heart. Now, I can get in the way and say the wrong things, but I have a responsibility. So they decided amongst themselves that unless these boys get, they're not joining the club. Okay. This, I was sitting about, it's very uncomfortable. Sorry. So there was a conference held in Jerusalem. And all of the apostles and all of the leaders had come to the realization of something. They came to the realization that the new covenant that Jesus had implemented was not the old Abrahamic covenant. And the physical circumcision of the flesh was not required to get into the new body. The new covenant, spiritual application, became circumcision of the heart. And here's the thing, it was the responsibility of the leaders of the ecclesia to determine, so they had to think about this, they had to work it out, and they worked it out through careful discussion, deliberations, a great deal of prayer. They had to seek what the truth of the matter was. And here's the thing about things being loosed on earth and bound in heaven. They had the responsibility to determine what God had already loosed in heaven for the Gentile people. Can you imagine if they'd have got it wrong? Can you imagine what it would have been if the early ecclesia were not operating with the will of the Father? So what they did was, they declared that the circumcision physical was no longer needed. And they loosed it on the earth because it was already there in heaven. And what does this do? Well, it shows us what our purpose is. It shows us what us as a church is. You often find that, you know, in Christian circles, you say, I'm saved. And I accept that I'm saved. And then usually there's a follow-on question. And I'll do it in an English accent just to play it down. Are you churched? And what does that mean? Do you go to church? Well, it's a lukewarm question. And it probably would give a lukewarm answer. Are you churched? Yeah, I go to church. But again, we are not to be a house full of churchgoers. We are to be the ecclesia. The purpose of the ecclesia was and is to make known God's law to the new disciples that the Father is going to bring to us. Why do we say it's nearly harvest time? Because God is going to bring even more people to Jesus. What's our mature adult responsibility? Well, to show the purposes and to make known God's law to these new disciples. Because bear in mind, our Father is bringing them to Jesus, and we have a responsibility to interact with them. So why do we come to church? To interact with new believers. To interact with one another. To know more about God. To know more about his ways. We have a purpose other than filling in a gap on a Sunday morning. We have a responsibility. We have an authority. God is going to draw more of the lost. He's calling them out. And see, he's calling them out because his message is so simple and people respond to it. His message is this. There's a God in heaven who rules and he will forgive sins. And he'll accept you into his eternal family as his sons and daughters. And he'll give each of you eternal life in the kingdom. That is the message that God is putting out to the lost about his son Jesus. That's the message that the people who are not yet saved, who have not yet accepted him, and I accept that there's people in the house here today who are in that place. That is the message that God is calling you out with, to come to know him, to come to know Jesus. And as a church, we have a responsibility to make sure that you go further, to make sure that you know more of God. And we're not puffing ourselves up as being, aren't we brilliant that we can do this? No. Won't we be brilliant if we follow the will of the Father? Amen. Jesus, like Peter, just like Peter recognized Jesus when he was called out, so will new believers. And just like the Gentiles who came to Jesus, it's going to be necessary, because bear in mind, the Gentiles didn't grow up with the law, they didn't grow up with the teaching, so these were new, fresh, new believers who didn't have that background. And Jesus knew this, that they would not understand things the same way the Jews would. They would not have that comprehension. Maybe they would not find things as easy to accept the way the Jews did. And Jesus knew this. So we have a responsibility to teach the scriptures, to teach the law of God, to teach the way of God as the ecclesia. That's why you come to church on a Sunday. That's why you belong to this body. That's why Jesus revealed himself to you, so that you can reveal Jesus to other people. It's infectious. It's amazing. It's incredible what Jesus will do. You have a role. You have a purpose. He has a plan for your life. And sometimes we try to stifle those plans, or sometimes we put things in the way, like, well, I've only ever talked to one person. You don't know what the impact of talking to that one person is, and leading them to Jesus, and showing them the truth, showing them the way. If you only do it for one person, what if God said, that's what I wanted you to do? You won't be disappointed then. And yet what we do is we put the fear and we put disappointment in. Oh, well, I can't do this. I can't be one of the called out ones because I can't teach. I can't share. I can't do the things that my Father expects me to do. But you can, because he's given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Keys of the kingdom. I'm tripping up my own. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. He's given them to you. And he's given you the authority. And he's given you the Holy Spirit. So when you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will say it. When you don't know who to reach, the Holy Spirit will put that person in front of you. Because all you're doing is being faithful to God, who has revealed Jesus to somebody. And now you're taking their hand and you're bringing them along. Because somebody did that for you. And somebody will continue to do that for you. Because we're part of the ecclesia. Now here's the thing, right? Jesus doesn't want us to be the passive ecclesia. He wants us to be an active ecclesia. He wants us to take that responsibility of giving you that authority so you can put it in a drawer and don't worry about it. That is not the way Jesus wants us to live. That is not why I was saved. That's not why God chose me. And if I believe that, then I believe that for everyone sitting here. That is not why God chose you. He chose you because he knows you can do the task. He knows that you have experienced him and you can help people experience him. So here's the thing. Jesus wants us to be servants. He wants us to hold the keys. See, when somebody was given the keys to the king's house as a servant, because remember, that's what Jesus said, we're not to lord it over people, we are to be servants. when the servant was given the key to the king's house, it was their job to open the door of the king's house and to assist the person at the door in reaching the king. That is a responsibility that we have. We are to assist the people who have come to the door in getting closer to the king. And that's why he's given us the keys. That's an amazing responsibility. And there's so many ways we can describe it. And there's so many ways we can break it down. But that's the basics. That is our role as the Ecclesia. And the thing is, this isn't a responsibility solely for the leadership of the church. This is a you and me. This is an us. We are the Ecclesia. There's no different levels of Ecclesia. There's no different grades. Oh, you're a grade one Ecclesia. You can do this. You're a grade two. You sit there and be quiet until you mature up. Because when Jesus gave you the keys to the kingdom, of the keys, look, when he gave you the keys, he knew very well that you could deal with it. He knew very well that you would exercise his authority. He knew very well, because he has confidence in you, that I didn't give you these keys for nothing. I gave you these keys to fulfill my purpose, to fulfill my plan for the lost, and to fulfill my plan in you. You have the keys. You have the authority. We are the Ecclesia. So what instead of Welcome to Liberty Community Church, a community of churchgoers, why don't we start believing and start acting this? Welcome to Liberty. God's called out people excitedly following God's will, bringing what's already in heaven down to earth. Church means something different. It's no longer a place to go on a Sunday. It's no longer a place to get together with friends. We have a responsibility to bring what is in heaven down to earth for the harvest that is coming. So how can we do it? Well, bear in mind, it's already loosed in heaven, so we don't have to do a lot of heavy lifting. We have to be faithful, and we have to be true to what God is saying to us, and we have to be true to his will. So what do we do? Well, you have the keys and you have the authority to do the following, including be part of the following. You have the keys and the authority to raise apostles. You have the keys and the authority to raise evangelists. You have the keys and the authority to raise teachers. You have the keys and the authority to raise prophets and pastors. That's some responsibility. I know last week we talked about heavy burdens. This burden isn't heavy. Jesus has already seen you succeed. When he said, I am giving you the authority, you've already succeeded. You have already done it. Because he's not foolish with what he gives out. But we have to take that responsibility. So what do? Let's come into alignment with God's will. If you're no longer happy with church just being a place to go on a Sunday, open your heart to his will. If you believe that you have a role to play in church, and bear in mind, Jesus believes it. So he needs that word to soak into you. He needs that word to become real to you. He needs that word to open up to you. That he has already believed that you are an important part of his church. That you have an important role to play. Because the harvest is coming. Amen. Amen. Thank you.